So this is round two, December 13, 2015. He's making fun of the nun who's holding the inhaler in her nostril. So today you get to go home for all of you who are in the course. He's asking the Thai course, who feels that they didn't really gain anything from this retreat? Thai people are going to be too scared to put up their hand, of course. Okay, who got just a little bit of use out of it? About four people, five people. If there's anything you didn't like about it, please tell the mentors and helpers. You can tell them. They can develop and make these better courses. He says, maybe your advice to them is, I don't understand what you're teaching. You don't understand what Longpa's teaching either, then you don't understand what the mentors are teaching. Dhamma isn't learned, and it's certainly, we won't be successful in Dhamma just from listening and reading. When we're listening to others, it is their knowledge that you're listening to, not your knowledge. So all you are is listening and remembering their knowledge. We don't learn Dhamma from reading and listening. We also don't learn Dhamma from thinking, from the land of concepts. All we get in these ways from reading and from listening is we get a memory. We get memories. And then from thinking, it's something that we can't rely on because we might be thinking correctly, we might be thinking incorrectly. It's hard to say. You can never really say. But what we can learn from are phenomena. There are three types of phenomena. There are bodily phenomena, or rupa phenomena. There's nama phenomena, mental phenomena. And then the third is nirvana. But those who have never seen nirvana cannot see nirvana, so we don't have to think about that one. None of us who, if we haven't reached a stage of enlightenment, then we have no familiarity with nirvana, and it's not something we can see. So what can we see? We can see rupa and nama. We can see physical and mental phenomena, or put easily, this body and mind are what we can see and learn the Dhamma from. Now, the truth of rupa, of body, is that it's a mass of elements composed of earth, which is the hardness, water, which is the attractive force between atoms. Wind is the movement element, and the fire element is that of energy, heat, temperature. This is very hard to see if our concentration isn't at the level of jhana. Then it is very difficult to be able to see the elemental truth of what matter really is. It's these four aspects. It's not a man or a woman. That's not really what form is. See, if we massage our own arm or hand or fingers, we'll notice that some areas are harder and some areas are softer. In the areas that are harder, there's more of the earth element. In the softer areas, there's less of the earth element. When we lift our leg up, our calf will loosen and there'll be less hardness, less earth element. When we step down, there'll be more firmness, hardness in the calf, and we can say there's more of the earth element now. See, the body isn't a person. It's not a he, a her, a them, not a person. It's just earth, water, wind, and fire. Even anger. Anger is a phenomenon. It's not a person. It's not a Chinese person, a Singaporean, a Thai person, a Westerner is angry. It's anger. It's the same phenomenon, no matter where it arises. Sadness, jealousy, remorse, vengeance, happiness, unhappiness, all these states are the same thing, no matter what type of person or what nationality of person or race has these phenomena. These are things that we don't need to have a great degree of concentration to see. We don't have to be a jhana meditator to see this. If our heart is greedy, angry, deluded, happy, or unhappy, we can see these things. And why are we seeing these things? So we can see that these things are not staying in the same place, that they are moving, changing, impermanent, that they come into existence and then fall, dissipate out of existence. And if the heart is happy or unhappy, is something that we cannot control. We can't forbid the mind to be unhappy. It'll come up anyway. This body is a collection of the elements that have come together. But you see, it feels like it's a mass, and we feel like this is our mass. It feels like me. And it's because all these things have come together, are bonded together, appearing to be me. It's like a group of things that they call khana. It's a group. It means a group or a collection that is bonded together, like a group. Technically, the sound is nasal. It's hard to say for a Thai person. Khana. Says we don't have the correct pronunciation like the elders did. So it feels like there really is an us because there's this grouping of things that are all attached to each other, bonded together. So the feeling in the heart that there is an us comes from all these groups that are working together, these aggregates. There is the consciousness, the bare awareness, the formations, the feelings, the memory, the body, and it all feels like it's us. But if these groupings or these aggregates break up, then the feeling that there is a person will disappear. It's sort of like, it's hard to understand as a philosophy, it's sort of like a car. We look at a car and we're like, yes, a car exists. It is something real, intangible. But then if we separate the car or dismantle it into the different pieces, for example, we take the wheels off, we take the bumpers off, we take the steering wheel off, we take the seats out, the gas tank, all the screws and nuts. There isn't one component that we look at and say, that is the car. Once we've dismantled it completely, there isn't anything that's a car. Similarly, if we can separate body and mind and the components of mind, such as memory and their awareness and all the formations and pleasant and unpleasant feelings, we can see that there aren't any of these particular components that are us. And even the body component, that can be separated into four pieces, which are the four elements that were described. The mind can be separated into four as well, which are the memory, khanda, the feelings, the formations, and consciousness. So we separate this stuff out. We keep separating this step out. This is the way of study in Buddhism, because when all these things come together as one, we will wrongly assume that this is me. But there isn't any piece available that has the characteristic of being a me. It's just this body and this mind that have many things that are composed of them. And when we separate it all out, we see there isn't a person. And once we can see clearly that none of these things are a me, then suffering can still occur, but there won't be a person that is the owner of the suffering. And so if none of these things are us, then what are they? Well, what we will see with even more wisdom is that these things are all suffering, suffering itself. Bodies of suffering, you could say. So in the first level of wisdom, we will see that there is no us. And in the last stage of wisdom, we will see that these things that are not us are all bodies or masses of suffering, suffering in and of itself. Once we understand that, we arrive at true liberation. One who understands the first level, where there is no self, that's the level of stream entry, the first level of enlightenment. The final level, arahantship, comes when it is seen that all is suffering. Once we reach final liberation, we will no longer be a slave. We will be truly happy. Right now we are a slave and we don't realize it. We are a slave of desire, which is ordering us around, commanding us all of the time, ordering us to look at this, to go talk to that, to go watch this. It is our secret boss that is master. It tells us, oh, let's go talk to that friend. And then we oblige. And just like a master and a slave, the slave will stay with this master because the master will give just little bits of happiness, give little treats every once in a while, keep us around. And that's these little scraps of happiness that we like, right? Our desire says, well, let's go talk to this person, and then we go and we get like a little bit of happiness out of it. Then another little desire comes and says, let's go do this or that. And then we go and do that, hoping to get another little scrap of happiness. Like a slave. Whenever we are being manipulated or taken over by desire, we are its slave. So how do we destroy this master desire? We destroy it by knowing suffering, by knowing, understanding that this body and mind are suffering. Because when we see all of the desires that we have in this world, like going to a movie or going to eat something nice, going to drink alcohol, whatever it might be, it's all in the interest of not wanting to suffer and wanting to be happy. And that's when we come to the bottom of it, to the crux of it all. All desire is about wanting to be happy, not wanting to be not happy. But if we see the truth that this mind is nothing but suffering, then why would we ever want it to be happy? It doesn't have the nature of being a happy thing. So this desire for wanting things to be happy and not wanting them to be unhappy will dissolve. It will dissolve once we understand that that's not something that is possible. And we will drop desire completely, release from it completely. So let's see that we are a slave to desire. It's actually the scariest, most frightening of all masters, because it's one that we don't even see. We don't even know we're its slave. If we're going to be a warrior to destroy desire, under the path that the Buddha taught, then the way that we be this warrior is we are a warrior who knows, sees, and understands this body and mind. If suffering is known, then the cause of suffering, desire, will be eliminated. Nirvana, or the end of suffering, will be realized, and the Noble Path reaches its complete development, all in that same moment, the Four Noble Truths. There are four duties, four noble truths: knowing suffering, eliminating desire, realizing the cessation of suffering, and the occurrence of the Noble Path. All happens in one instance. When one happens, they all happen. It's time for homework. You can lift your hand if you haven't sent in your homework yet and would like to. Please lift your number now. So if you need to, then put up your number. Okay, got ya. 84. He forgot about those staying at the temple. They get first priority.
Oh, okay, no, I don't have to say why. It's
He says he uses the home base for his mind. What he uses is Lungpa's CDs. He says MP3s cannot be a base for your mind. But what is actually happening there is you're using your mind as the base, because you're listening and then seeing what your mind does when you're listening. So that's fine. But just know you're doing that to see what the mind does. So your mind is the home base, not the MP3. He says he's frustrated sometimes, and he gets discouraged. And can he have some advice? Lungpa says, oh, that's easy. Doesn't matter how discouraged you are, just keep practicing. Even if you're lazy, you feel lazy, keep practicing. This path is not for weak, lazy people. This isn't for us. Basically, the lesson is don't be afraid of ghosts. Actually, five ghosts or five devils. There are the death is one devil, outer, you know, whatever beings that want to bother us is another. But the most dangerous of all of the ghosts or devils are the defilements, our own inner devils. Don't be too greedy. Don't be thinking of results. Just know in the present moment.
ก็ปฏิบัติก่อนหน้านี้ครับมันไม่ค่อยเห็นตัวเราครับทีนี้พอมาดูช่วงหลังเนี่ยมันเห็นตัวเราบ่อยขึ้นครับก็บางทีเป็นตัวเล็กๆแทรกคนบางทีเนี่ยบางทีก็เห็นตอนมันกำลังรอตัวขึ้นมา
เออดีครับไม่ได้ฝึกเพื่อล่ามันนะหรือรู้ทันเลยเห็นไ
หม says he can see the self
บางทีมันเผลอไปแบบ
coming up, sometimes the me is really, really small. Sometimes it's really, really big. I try to suppress it. It says it's good that you see it. You're not enlightened, so there will be this me coming up. Once you're enlightened, there won't be this me.
ครับดีมีเรื่องนึงติดมาหลายปีนะครับขอหลวงพ่อเมตตาชี้แนะด้วยครับคือเคยบวชเป็นพระแล้วตอนนั้นเนี่ยภาวนาไปเลยจิตมันเกิดปัญญาแล้วเราก็เข้าใจว่าเป็นอริยมรรคเราก็เลยไปบอกเพื่อนทีนี้พอผ่านมาเราก็รู้ว่ามันไม่ใช่ครับแล้วพอทุกวันนี้บางที
He was a monk at one point and thought that he enlightened and told all his friends and now he realizes that he didn't there's still a meHe says, if you can, then tell them that you were wrong. So the other day I was... Where was I? I can't remember, but I was talking somewhere. I was at some place, some province, talking, and there was a monk that came to him after Longpa had finished talking. The monk came up to him and said, I've reached the fourth stage of enlightenment now. I saw that.The environment and my heart are all one. I've reached the end of suffering. Longpa looked at him and said, what should I tell this guy? Said, try and have mindfulness, try and have mindfulness. Actually, this guy didn't even have mindfulness yet and thinking that he reached the end. See, when we get smarter, we get to see what we were doing wrong.That some people are very, very hard to fix. Monks, a lot of the time, have an ego problem and are even harder to correct than lay people. Some are easy to help, but some monks don't even listen. Difficult. Really tight. Holding really tight. I'm an arahant. I'm an enlightened being. And then what I'll say sometimes when they think,that they're enlightened, they'll say, well, why don't you try to have mindfulness first? And then you see them get angry. And then, what kind of arahant's going to get angry? And then they say, anger arises and falls. It is suchness of anger. Can we notice that the mind shifts and moves around?See, some people are stuck in this beautiful state of emptiness, but you have to see, the mind is moving, it goes into this state, it moves towards this state. You see, if the mind is still moving around into different states, then it isn't nirvana. It's just moving into different realms. Longpa, unfortunately, has had the pleasure of killing a lot of enlightened beings, so to speak. People thinking that they're enlightened and saying, see how your mind's moving around? The enlightened mind doesn't move around like that, looking for happy realms. She's been practicing 2 months, and she's starting to see her own mind. He says, you're someone with a busy mind, but you're doing it right. Don't control anything, just watch it. She's just asking about a type of prayer, and it's like, should I believe in this? And he said, believe in it. It depends on how we feel when we do it. It's just helping to give us some energy. Some Thai people pour water into the earth to share their merits. And he says, it's a great thing to do. It helps to give us some feelings of loving kindness and helps us to have more samadhi. Because usually when we're doing it, we're quite composed. She's just having a lot of suffering in her life, but she says that she can feel the suffering is at a bit of a distance. He said, yes, you're able to separate the khandhas, the aggregates, doing well. You're in one of the lessons of life now. Husband and child are ill. Remember that all beings are subject to karma, the law of karma. Now you are together. It's guaranteed that you will separate from each other at some point, whether it's sooner or later. So let's remember this truth. Help it to give you strength in difficult times. Some people like to share their merits with all beings, and it gives them a powerful sense of energy within inside themselves. Life is just a dream. It's an illusion. Let's learn from suffering and develop and progress this heart. Have your child, the child's not too young, have the child listen to Lungpa's Dhamma, listen to the CDs, and even if he passes, he has some virtuous, wholesome states in his heart, and he can move in a good direction. The hardest thing to endure in this earth is the death of a child that he's ever seen. The thing that hurt, that is the most painful for people, is the death of a child. People's parents dying, that's not so hard, actually. Sometimes a burden is released. She's new to this, just in this course, and in the past she would do some chanting and her mind would be very still. And now in this course my mind's running around all over the place. He says that's much better. The mind that is still has no point. Just happy and relaxed for a little while, and then we suffer again. But a heart that is practicing the path of wisdom is one that'll be happier and happier. You see, you're focusing in on your body too much. There's too much control. Just move around, relax out of it. Now the heart's in better shape. Oh, now it's getting tighter again. Try not to maintain a state like this. We'll get to be a good person if we're maintaining a nice still space, but we won't enlighten, we won't gain wisdom. Let the mind free. She says that when she's practicing, sometimes her mind sinks down into samatha, and then sometimes it comes out, and the emotions and feelings start coming back, the mind starts moving again. He says, that's great, that's wonderful.
ข้างหน้าจริงลงไปเหมือนกันแล้วก็เราก็เหมือนกับโทสะตัวนั้นก็ตายไปเลยไม่หายไปเลย
She says anger arises and then she sees there. And she sees the anger very, very clearly and then the anger disappears. He says, don't follow the anger. Don't hold the anger. Don't follow the anger. Let the anger disappear.And don't keep focusing and don't follow it. If we follow it down too far, sort of, our mind will sort of disappear in there. He did that when he was younger, he was practicing. He said, I want to see where the root of the defilements are. And when a defilement would come up, he would follow it down as it's disappearing, see where it's going.I was doing this for a little while, and I went to Chiang Mai to see Master Sim. And before I even said hello to Master Sim, when he saw me, he said, hey, know her, what are you doing down there? Come back out. So just see the defilement arise and the defilement fall away, otherwise we're not being equanimous.He has a good basis. Number 9, raise your hand.
Sorry, just
drop.
Good one. I have two questions. The first one.People quite often question me if I believe in reincarnation. And my reply is, I don't know because I haven't been able to experience it myself. Although other aspects of the practice come to me as self-evident, I didn't have a grasp at this one. And I raised this question, I had the opportunity to do it with other monks, and they said, my delight, don't worry, eventually faith will become wisdom. So I know I should focus in the present, But should I just acknowledge it troubles me and let it go, or? Well, that's number one.
Okay. ถามเรื่องตายแล้วเกิดอีกนะครับคือรู้ว่าควรอยู่กับปัจจุบันแต่ก็เป็นสิ่งที่นึกถึงบ่อยๆสงสัยบ่อยๆอ่ะครับแล้วบางคนบอกว่า like that you should have faith. Some people you should have faith. Is that the thing to talk to? คือถ้ามีศรัทธาเขามีศรัทธาเชื่อว่ามันน่าจะเป็นอย่างนี้จริงๆแล้วมีคนบอกว่าศรัทธาเดี๋ยววันหนึ่งเปลี่ยนเป็นปัญญาแล้วเขาก็สงสัยเรื่อยๆครับ
ม
ัน
จะเปลี่ยนเป็นปัญญาได้ไงถึงว่าทีแรกเราไม่รู้ไม่เห็นเราเชื่อพระพุทธเจ้าสอนอย่างนี้แล้วเราลงมือปฏิบัติพอปฏิบัติแล้วเราก็รู้ประเด็นเราเรียนรู้จริงด้วยตัวเองไม่ต้องเชื่อคนอื่น
soAt first, we may just have a belief, right? But if we practice in the right way, we'll see the truth for ourselves. And the Buddha taught to be this way as well. Then we don't have to believe anything or believe anyone. We'll know the truth in our experience. Says there are sort of two different types of birth and death. One type is the one that you're speaking about where the body dies and then it's all reborn somewhere else. But there's another type of birth and death, and that is the birth and death of mind. That one moment we are born as a good person and that falls away, and then the next moment we can be born as a bad person in the next moment. One moment a happy person, the next moment an unhappy person. So this is the one to...has the most use for us to see that. Do you have another question? Yes. Ikoning.
Would it be correct to assume that as we progress in our practice and are able to separate the aggregates ourselves, it will help you also to have an insight into other people's aggregates, or it would be easier for you to build some kind of empathy with other people who are going through?
พอเราแยกขันได้อะครับคือเราจะสงสารเห็นใจคนอื่นมากขึ้นหรือเปล่า
ใช่
Yeah, you have more empathy
เม
ื่
อเช้านะที่เข้าไปในห้องที่หลวงพ่อบอกว่าตลาดตัวแยกขันได้วันนี้เลย
He said in the little room that there's a big phalang guy that can separate the aggregates. He was talking about you.
Six, number six.
I am asking for your advice. I don't believe people are in peace, and I got angry when I feel that the people is lying to me. I think that the people is insulting my wisdom.
Can I read it? เขาเป็นคนที่ไหนเขาเป็นคนที่ไม่ค่อยเชื่อคนอื่นนะครับแล้วก็ชอบโกรธตอนรู้สึกว่าโกหกเรานะครับรู้สึกว่าคนนั้นเหมือนปฏิบัติกับเราเหมือนเราเป็นคนโง่ก็บอกแค่นี้ครับ
ครับไม่เห็นเจตนา
เลย He doesn't see that as a problem แต่ก็ขอคำแนะนำเหมือนกัน
เป็นไงไหมมีความรู้สึกว่าเรามีอยู
่ Can you feel that there is it seems as if there is a self here Can you sense that there is a me sitting in the chair Because there is a meSitting here in this chair, then there is a them, and when there is a them, then they do things that are not nice to us. If we can see that there is no me, then there will be no them either.
ความรู้สึกก็เป็นอีกส่วนหัดแยกหัดดูไปเรื่อยๆเป็นทุกอย่างเป็นดั่งไปแต่เรียนรู้ว่าตัวเราไม่มีเขาไปด้วย
so the way to see that there is no me is to separate the aggregates and see that the body is one thing the mind is another the happy and unhappy feelings are another and we watch and see these different aspects working on their own we'll see that there is no meAnd when we see that there is no me, there will be no them. So the thing that you should see often these days is anger. Okay, so when anger arises, see that it has arisen, and you don't have to interfere with it. You don't have to do anything about it.But you'll see that every time that anger arises, you suffer.
She thinks that she's practicing correctly, but she sees that. Why is she suffering so much? Since you were always suffering, you just didn't see it before. If we see the truth.If we see things as they actually are, then we'll start to get dispassionate towards all phenomena. and once we're dispassionate, then we'll be able to release. Right now, or soon, you'll become bored, dispassionate with all phenomena, and then we'll be able to let go of suffering. So I'm actually practicing right, aren't I? I'm not just thinking I am. It's like, yeah, no. You're not just thinking about it. It's going correctly. Just don't be too greedy and keep practicing. He says, according to, on average, people that I praise too much, their practice gets worse for a few days because they got to keep staying the champion for a while.